that's what we've come. It's so great when God shows up and touches our hearts, isn't it?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? And just take a few moments of silence before Him, reflecting on the words of that message of that last song. Lord God, we come before You in our quietness. You say, be still and know that I am God. And sometimes we come to a worship service like this and we fill the space, we fill the time with us, our performance. But Lord, we desire to see and to know You this morning, to be still before You. And I was just thinking as we were singing this song of how Canadian it was. Sorry. Sorry, God. Sorry, God, for my agenda. Sorry, God, for coming and making worship something that it's not about. It's not about what I get, the blessings that I get. But it's, Lord, giving myself to You. Pray that You'll accept our worship of our hearts and our lives today, Lord. Forgive us for that which we haven't been able to do in word and in deed, omission and commission in way of our sins to get today. Lord, as we've come to the communion table, this service is about You. We pray today, Lord, that You will meet us in Your word. Meet us in these songs that we have sung. Lord, help us to reflect even more deeply of Your great love for You. You don't owe us anything, Lord. We owe You everything. So we've come in this place to offer our time, our offerings, our blessings to each other, to You, Lord. Thank You for this opportunity we take to worship. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So today, we come upon a new series. We've been talking about contemporary issues. Today we want to break open and understand a little bit more of the book of Joshua. And this is a little unlikely in way of a message. I have, of course, 4 points for you this morning in way of background and what's important in way of this book to understand it a little bit more. It's kind of like an overview in way of, you know, one of those drones kind of flying over top of something. You know, taking a look down and you see kind of the whole lay of the land. And it's in that we want to look at this book of Joshua today, is to kind of get an overview, trying to understand the background a little bit, trying to understand its dating. And of course, why is this important to us to look at and to study at this juncture? Why for now is this a good book for us to look at as a congregation? So some of these questions we will be definitely addressing in this message this morning. So in the placement, if you have a Bible, a lot of us have, of course, our phones and whatnot nowadays with our electronic technology. But in your Bible, it's kind of at the beginning of the Bible, in the Old Testament section of the Bible. And Joshua is what they call a historical book. It's a book of history. So the first five books from Genesis to Deuteronomy, of course, we call the law books or the Pentateuch, penta meaning five, the five first books of the law that Moses wrote. And then we begin a section of about 11 books, beginning with the book of Joshua, giving us the historicity of what happened to this nation of Israel. So as we look at this morning, we understand something of the history that's being equated from Joshua to Esther, and these 11, 12 books that are given here for us, Joshua marking this beginning of the Odyssey of the people of promise and what they're all about when they came to this land that God had promised them. Of course, they come from a context of being in Egypt, enslaved for 400 years. So I kind of have a picture of them in way of their self-identity. And we all have identity. You know, we shake somebody's hand and say, hi, how are you? And maybe if they have an accent or something, we say, are you from England or Wales? Or are you from, Asia? Because of our facial appearance, we do some guessing, don't we, in way of greeting people. And then in way of identity, people, especially men, talk about their jobs. You know, I'm a pastor, I'm a doctor, I'm a pizza delivery guy, I'm a taxi cab driver, I'm this, I'm that, right? Well, you can think of these guys coming out of Egypt, 400 years, you shake their hand and they say, I'm a slave. That's my identity. Slaves are probably lowest on the social order, and I'm a slave. You'd think, I don't know how to relate to that unless you're a slave yourself, and then, how can you identify with these people? So here they come, 400 years, and then not only a slave, but now they are just kind of wandering for 40 years, it says, in the desert place. So they're wandering around, wandering. 40 years pass by, and then they come to the promised land of Jericho, the first major city inside the land of Canaan, right? So slavery, 400 years, 40 years of wandering, kind of wondering what's going on, come up to this place that God has promised them, a place that they have no idea other than what some spies have told them earlier, have brought back some news. They also will send out some more spies, but I don't want to, get spoiler. You probably read the book of Joshua already, but I don't want to spoil, because other pastors will be preaching messages. So I'm just giving you the overview, right? We're taking the downward look, and this is the book of Joshua. So in marketing Joshua to you this morning, we have to understand that context and where they've come from, and they've always been looking in faith to this Canaan, this promised land that God had promised Jacob, their ancestry down through the lines of the book of Genesis and up to Moses. They've always been looking forward to the promised land. Why the promised land? God is going to give us. So it's always a looking forward, a hope, a faith, a belief that God is going to fulfill his promises to his people. And the victory in faith is that you believe something and so you take action upon it. The book of Joshua is all about a kind of victorious faith because they've been talking about it for all these years. And now they're right on the cusp of things. They're going to take their belief and make it real. March into the promised land. So we're going to talk a little bit about background, importance, outline, and application this morning. So the background of the book of Joshua is that the star figure, of course, on the title is Joshua. He's the guy, Joshua. He's found on the title of the book. He's found throughout the book. He is the star player, but if you know something of the significance of the name of Joshua, it means Yahweh saves. So as we look at Joshua, it doesn't really relate to Joshua, and more so it relates to what God does through Joshua. So not so much about himself and his strength, but God's strength and power working through him. Isn't that really the foundation of faith, though, isn't it? It's not so much about us, how strong and powerful we are, what we bring to the plate, but more so what God is able to do through us. Scholars believe that Joshua himself is the scribe, or maybe a scribe under his direction has related most of this book of Joshua. So we get this, and they get this from the kind of the very personal accounting of his leadership as we travel through the book of Joshua. Perhaps the high priest Eleazar or Phinehas could have supplanted a little bit of material towards the end of the book of Joshua. In chapters 23, 24, Joshua gives his last kind of swan song and says, okay, this is it. This is what you guys got to be doing in this nation that God has given to you, the land of Canaan. You, the Israelites, possess the land. And so he gives this last speech and then passes on. So it's believed that maybe the high priest wrote some of that section towards the latter end of Joshua's life. So they're thinking that perhaps this finality of the book coming together is in the time period of King Saul, when everything was kind of polished up and we have the book of Joshua as it is today. Furthermore, there's a reoccurring phrase to this day that gives us or indicates that the writing followed after several events in the latter time. A final rendition is likely and is said in the kingdom of Saul. So the dating is around 1405 BC, or Joshua's death is 1390 BC, and that's kind of very rough figuring in way of how the book was come together. The earliest reference for Joshua doesn't come particularly in the book of Joshua, but rather before in the Pentateuch, when Moses was writing mostly. And we see the first accounting in Exodus chapter 24, verse 12 and 13, where it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me in the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction.' Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up onto the mountain of God." So obviously Joshua here is right in the thick of things as they unfold with Moses. As Moses goes up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments of God, Joshua is right along with him to the point that just before he goes up to meet with God, he's asked to stay at the bottom of the mountain before and pray and see what Joshua is going to be all about in way of being an aid to this great leader, Moses. Well, before Joshua is a leader, we see him as a great follower. We see him as an intern. Leadership always hinges upon being a good follower before you are a good leader. Joshua couldn't have had a better mentor than Moses himself. Then we see in Exodus 33, verse 11, that the Lord speaks to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend, and then Moses would return to the camp. But his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So this is the account of how Moses would go into the tent to meet with God as man to man or God to man. And then Moses would step out of the tent and his face would be glowing because of meeting with God. And Joshua would be the first to see that, right? Here is Moses going in, meeting with God, stepping out. And then Moses stepping out into the light, but his face being so bright, and then having to cover his face because people will get scared. Who's this guy? Shining face guy, right? But Joshua is right there when he was stepping out, saw that, and realized that, wow, this is something powerful. God is really working amongst the people of Israel. And this is the leader. He spends time with God and focuses on what God's message is to the people and moves according to how God directs, not according to how Moses directs. Well, Joshua saw this and saw that really Moses' strength came from these meetings with God. Then in Deuteronomy 31:14, we see the end of Moses and the commissioning of Joshua as the next leader. The Lord says to Moses, "Now the day of your death is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting, where I will commission him." So Moses and Joshua came and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. When a leader dies, the transition is never easy. The question of whether the new leader will be able to kind of cut the mustard, as we say, or do those things that the former leader was able to do. We wonder that, right? And so when God calls both of them to the tent of the meeting, we're very much aware that the mantle that was on Moses is now being passed by God himself onto Joshua. At verse 23, we read, "The Lord gave this commandment to Joshua, son of Nun. Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them, an oath, and I myself will be with you." I can't imagine that was so strengthening to Joshua as he wondered to himself, how am I going to do all this? But God says, Joshua, I am going to be with you. I will give you strength. So much for us, and this is why this book is so important for us, is often we go into our place of work or business and we think, I'm here all alone. There's no other Christians. There's nobody else around. Am I going to be able to do this on my own, be a vibrant testimony, a witness of God's love to these other people around me? Can I do this? And God says, behold, Larry, Dawn, you know, calls our name and says, I'm with you in this. I'm with you in this. The importance of the book of Joshua, the conquest of Canaan, takes up to 7 years. And then there's that final address 22 years later in the life of Joshua. The book begins with the nation of Israel poised on the banks of the Jordan River, facing this huge city of Jericho. It records the details of numerous military encounters, battles, 3 major campaigns. The importance of this book lies in the culminations of Israel's journey to the promised land. Here we see God fulfill his promise to give the land of Canaan to Jacob's descendants. And Joshua portrays the Lord as one giving the directions. God is the one who leads the people. God is the one who saves. The victorious battles are all about trusting and obeying God. Joshua's leadership is a model for our own church and also our personal lives. So the outline of the book of Joshua, the book is formed into 2 major sections. The first section, verses chapter 1 to 11, is all about the conquest, the taking of the land. And the second one is about the settlement of the land, the division of all the properties that have been gained, 13 to 22. And then finally the wrap up in 23 to 24. So there, you probably can't even read that. Or can you? Okay, maybe you can. So there's a lay of the land, kind of what we're going to be doing. So the top part is kind of important, conquest of Canaan, and then, of course, the settlement going on, and then that's further broken down into various areas. I think it's important that we again get that bird's eye view, the top-down look at the book of Joshua so that we understand where we're going in the days ahead. Well, the application of the book of Joshua. So after 40 years in the desert, a new generation has become ready to enter the land of Canaan. Of course, we know the beginning stories of this, of how there was a first coming to the land before the wanderings around 40 years in the desert. This isn't the first accounting of them coming up to the land, right? There's a first happening, and we can see that in the book of Deuteronomy. So if you look back in your Bibles to the book just before the book of Joshua is the book of Deuteronomy. In chapter 1, we see them coming before the land and spies being sent out. And we know that Joshua was one of the spies that goes into the land. And Caleb, you know, they go into the land around a couple other spies. They're kind of in the minority, but they go into the land, spy it out, and they come back and they say, man, it's flowing with milk and honey. It's a great place. God has really blessed us. It's amazing. You know, let's go in and take the land. And of course, there's the naysayers, those that are critical. Oh, no, we definitely can't go in the land. Because, wow, you know, these people that are in the land are huge. They're descendants of Anak, the Nephilim. And these men are monsters. You know, how in the world are we tiny Israelites going to fight against these huge people? And besides that, have you seen the walled cities? And we got to cross the Jericho, river, Jordan. And how are we going to do that? Like, wow, I mean, come on, guys, you know, shake your head. We're not going to be able to accomplish this. And so there was a lot of rumblings, right? And God said, okay, fine, don't go in the land. And that ensued with 40 years of wandering in the desert. But God still had promised them that they would go into the land, right? That generation all passed away. And then, of course, Caleb and Joshua were the only ones that were left of that generation. And they came again to the land, and now they stand on the cusp of the land. What is that? How are we to relate to that today? You know, and how are we to apply that to ourselves? I believe very strongly here in this text, we can see that God is a God of second chances. He takes us through difficulties in our lives. And if we say, yeah, God, I'm going to trust and obey that you are going to be able to do this. And it's interesting, too, that with Joshua, one of the big slogans that is for the book of Joshua, and here, a spoiler alert, don't cover your ears, but here it is. God says to Joshua, you know, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Have faith, have trust as you go into the land, right? Is he to have faith and trust in himself? No, he's to have faith and trust in God, that God will be able to accomplish what he set out before Joshua. And if Joshua remembers just, you know, 40 years past, when Moses was in Egypt trying to bring out the slaves out of Egypt, it was a huge deal, right? There was those plagues, those 10 plagues that God perpetrated upon Egypt to bring those people out of Egypt and had Pharaoh let them go. So obviously God is real and dynamic in the lives of these people. God loves his people. And he wants to do amazing things through their lives. They come to the land of Canaan, the promised land. We come to the promised land, the place that God has put us. And we are to honor him, not by trusting in ourselves, but asking, what is it that God wants us to do? You know, we know that God wants us to love other people, to testify of his great love for everyone. How are we going to accomplish that in and of ourselves? sometimes it's very fearsome, isn't it? We say and do the wrong things. We fumble around, but God still loves us. He wants us to be strong and courageous. So we come to the communion table, recognizing that it is more about God's working in our hearts and our lives than even what we can perform. So as we come to the table today, we reflect on the fact that Yahweh saves, God saves, particularly through Jesus Christ, on his death upon the cross. So we welcome those that are serving to come forward and stand at the front with me. Let's bow our heads as they come and commit our communion side to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for these elements that remind us of your broken body and shed blood for us. We ask, Lord, as we take of these elements today, that, Lord, you remind us of your great love for us and that you are powerful to save, that you do it in our lives. Lord, we just have to come confessing our need and our brokenness before you, that we have sinned, that we have done that which is not pleasing to you and to honor your holy name in our lives. We ask that you would come and meet us afresh and anew, even as we take of these elements. Forgive us our sins, our hidden faults, our sins of omission and commission, that we might be right in your sight. And that's so important, Lord, in our lives, that we honor you, that we be clean and pure in your sight. Thank you for the Lord Jesus that gave himself for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we ask you if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you welcome to take part of these elements today. We don't have communion police that will step up and say, hey, I don't know if you're able to take these communion elements today. That's up to you personally to police yourself in. But in 1 Corinthians 11, God says to us that if we eat and drink without proper recognition of Jesus' body and blood, that we eat and drink condemnation upon ourselves. So this is just a warning that God gives us that we might know that this is serious business when we take of these elements. It's a reminder to us that, yes, I'm testifying that I believe in the efficacious work of God and what he's done by giving his son, Jesus Christ, to die upon a cross. So if you don't agree with that or you don't quite understand that, you can let the elements pass you by. No shame or wrong in doing that, but don't take the elements without recognizing that and knowing that you are a child of God and believe in the work of Jesus Christ. Elements as you take them. We want to hold on to them so that all can partake together. After you've received them, we'll be standing together and taking the elements together. Take this time to reflect upon your life, confessing your sin before God, asking him to come to wash your sins as far as they are able to be washed by his perfect blood and by his broken body this morning. His word tells us, as far as the east is from the west, as pure can be. That's what God does in taking that sin and removing it from us. Pray and ask for those specific sins that you know are not right between you and God this morning. Let's stand together, shall we? Jesus took the bread on that night and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you." Let's partake together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the reminder that we live not unto ourselves, but unto you. Thank you for this, your broken body for us, to redeem us from an evil and wicked generation that we are a part of, Lord. Cleanse us and make us right before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Shall we stand again together? On that night, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Take you all of it." Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this cup reminding us of your shed blood on our behalf. We thank you that it's powerful to redeem us, to cleanse us, to make us whole in righteousness, not our own righteousness, not what we have done, but what you, Lord Jesus, have done, being the Son of God, the Holy One of God, giving your life for the sake of our lives. Thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. And as you are, just pass your cups to the inside aisles here, and our servers will collect those up. And as we do this, we want to welcome our worship team to come up to the stage. We're going to sing Hosanna together. So we're going to be standing again in a moment, just as they lead us.
stand. Let's worship the God that is here. He's got so much ready for all of us.
Everything I am for your care.
people sing,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.
To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. So if you take your bulletins out, just briefly here this morning for a few brief announcements. Just want to encourage you. Thank you for joining us here at Westwood Alliance Church. If you're new to our midst, we'd love to have you sign a guest card. You can talk to me after where you could find that. We love to get to know you a little better. We have a connections room just down the hallway to my left, to your right. And we serve some coffee and some snackables. It's a chance to get together and just to share with how our week's gone and pray together. Just feel free to enjoy that this morning. Also, you'll notice we've got a lot happening. We've got 11 different items here. On October the 26th, we're planning a baptism, so that means today is the beginning of our baptismal class. So if you want to know where to go for that, I believe it'll be upstairs. Pastor Joe, are you here? Pastor Ray, Pastor Joe, where are they going?
M3.
So meet with Pastor Joe in M3 if you're wanting to be baptized. And if you want to transfer your membership, there'll be two classes on baptism, and then the next two classes will be on membership. So if you're aware of that, please prepare yourself. If you want to transfer your membership from one church to Westwood Alliance Church, you're welcome to do that. Just be aware that that two-week class on the Sunday evenings or Sunday mornings will be coming up. Also, the ESL class will be beginning this coming Friday. I'll be teaching that. The classes will be changing from the Friday to the Tuesday the following week. So that's just to get around that Pro D Day. That's very common in our school district, and a lot of people have to go look after kids on Pro D Day, right? So they don't show up to the ESL class. So we're trying to get that out of the way and do it on the Tuesday. So starting on the next week following, it'll be on the Tuesday instead of the Friday. Also, you'll note that our ladies are having their Mountain Lodge retreat. The mountain isn't that far away, but it is a retreat. And they have a sign-up table outside, so if you want to sign up for that and get some more information, you're welcome to do that in the foyer. They'll be manning the table. Also this morning, I'll be teaching a class on intercultural building, intercultural being the melding together, as we do in this church, of different ethnicities, languages, cultures. What does that look like and how we are going to move forward in the future as a church? So there's five lessons on that, so if you want to come and join me in that class, it'll be upstairs in M5 in the library. So you're welcome to do that as well this morning, and that's at the 11:45 hour. So please pay attention to the other announcements, and may God bless you as you go into this week. Thank you for joining us here at Westwood Alliance Church. Yeah.